Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. You know, I get to thinking an awful lot about stuff, and especially this time whenever I'm getting ready for my message. The message is very important, and we follow what we call the lectionary, which it gives us a list of scriptures that we can follow for the week, both Old Testament, New Testament, what we call epistles, which is simply the little letters. And I've been thinking a lot lately about the teachings of Jesus and what he was teaching to the disciples when he was here on earth. And then it's recorded for us in scripture. And I think it's so important that we understand what Jesus is teaching and talking about and how it relates to us today, modern day disciples. Now, I live out here in the country in Monticello, Florida, you know, and we're still do some things different because we do live in the country and we burn our paper and trash. And, you know, we have a dump, so we have to take the garbage to the dump, like the regular old household garbage. But when it comes to the paper and different things like that, even old bills and that kind of stuff, we burn them. Now, I know some people shred them with the shredder, but we're blessed to be able to be out here in the country, and we burn them. So I built a fireplace out of cinder blocks. So I used to use a big barrel, but the barrels rust away and different things. So I thought, well, so I got me a burn pit made out of cinder blocks. And because you don't want the little sparks to get away and maybe cause we got a lot of woods. And not so much now, but normally there's a lot of dry foliage laying around on the ground. So you don't want the sparks from the fire to, you know, start something that you don't want to be started. So what I do is I get it out, I put it in, and then I take one of those lighter things and it clicks and it sparks. And then when you click it and it sparks, you know, the flame comes out. And I put it down on just one piece of paper usually. And then I watch it go and it turns into a consuming fire. I think that's what I was thinking about with this week, and I'll talk a little bit more about it. God's a consuming fire, because he takes all of our sins and so forth, and he consumes them to be gone forever. But I was thinking about this little song, and I think we call it a camp meeting song, but I just love this song, and every time I light the paper in my concrete cinder block fireplace and have one little spark. Now, I know you know it. Most everybody knows it. And I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read the lyrics because it says so much. It says, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon, all those around can warm up to its glowing. And that's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread the love to everyone. You want to pass it on. And then, of course, it goes on with some other lyrics. But I always think about that first verse. Once you experience God's love, you want to pass it on. So, and it shares that, oh, I wish that you, my friend, the happiness that I found, you can depend on God. It matters not where you're bound. Then you'll shout it from the mountaintop. Praise God. Because we want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. And I want to pass it on. That's how we come and encourage one another in the faith. It's really a blessing. Because the fire of God's love is in us. So we've been in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, for the last couple of weeks, looking at a lot of the teachings of Jesus in chapter 12, and where he talked about, he was warning about hypocrisy. Boy, do we have that today in our world. He was warning about and told the story of the rich fool teaching about money and possessions, and he's also telling us about be ready because he is coming soon. And then he gets into a teaching on division. Now, Jesus came to give us peace. But he said, no, I have come to bring fire to the earth, and I wish that my task was already complete because there's a terrible baptism ahead of me, and I'm under a heavy burden until it's accomplished. Do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? No, I have come to bring strife and division. From now on, families will be split apart. 3 in favor of me, 2 against, and the other way around, and there'll be division between father and son, mother and daughter, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Now, I don't know about you, but I have some of that division in my own family. But now he's talking about a fire. Now, I think maybe the first century audience understood that imagery of fire maybe more than we do. I do because I burn my trash out here, but most of the people in our country now, I don't think, in the Tallahassee area, they burn their own trash. Maybe they do. But the early audience, the early disciples understood that we only have a passing acquaintance at times about fire. Oh, we see fire in a fireplace, and when we have candlelight service on Christmas Eve, we worry about the kids holding their candles, and we read about an occasional forest fire. We hear sirens. We have retired firefighters in our congregation, and, you know, they look, and they see a fire truck coming. All our attention goes to it, but the most important thing, fire departments are so competent that accidental fire deaths make the national news because they usually take good care of it and save a lot of people. Now, I've been thinking about this because the ancient people had very intimate knowledge of fire. Think about that. Their only nighttime illumination came from the flames of oil lamps. Smoke on the cooking fire, the kitchen floor, consistently, and that smoke irritated their eyes, and everybody in them days, their fingers were calloused from working with the household fires, and their arms and hands bore the scars of the burns. I think early in childhood, they must have learned that food tastes better when it's cooked. The flames tempered the metal, the kilns hardened the pottery, so they got to understand the wonderful thing about fire once they understood how to control it. You know, fire is a manifestation of God, and we're grateful for that. We thank you because we talk about, well, I'm on fire for the Lord. And I hope and pray that we all are on fire for the Lord. But I think sometimes we got to take that and put that fire thing into perspective. So I was just thinking about fire today, and I don't know, and just maybe crazy, but the consuming fire of God, who loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to consume all of our sins. Sometimes in a little revival meeting or something like that, sometimes we'll say to folks, you know, at the end of the service and say, you know, God's a consuming fire and he'll forgive all your sins. And you want to use some kind of visual. And you'll say, okay, write down what you want to be forgiven for. Or write down something in your life that you just want to give to God so that you can put it away. And put it on a piece of paper. And then we'll put them in the offering plate. You can fold them so nobody sees them. And then we'll bring him up here to the altar. And we have this little fireproof pot-like type of thing. And we'll set them on fire. Sins forgiven, never to be remembered again. There's something about that image of fire burning up those signs of forgiveness or what we put on those little papers. It's something we've just been bothered with. Well, I'm rambling on again now. But You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is radical. Jesus had some hard teachings, but he wants us to catch fire for him, to be on fire and share that love with others. And it's just something I've been thinking about. And I hope and pray that you think about it too the next time you start a little fire. And just know that that little one tiny little spark just, boom, catches the whole thing on fire. That's the way it is with God's love. When you invite Christ into your life, that spark comes into your life. And it consumes you with Jesus' love and grace. Well, you crazy today, preacher, I don't know. But anyhow, just wanted to share that with you. We have so many little things going on in the church, prayer request-wise. Keep the church in prayer, as all churches are going through a transition, if for lack of a better term, and people are finally starting to come back and different things. We have the business of the church coming up in September, which we call charge conferences, and I don't know, just keep the denomination in prayer. We got a lot of things. You would think that any church that proclaims Jesus as Lord would have harmony, wouldn't have any challenges and different things. But Jesus warned us, as I just shared with you in the scripture, that you're going to have these kind of little things. But if you keep Christ at the center, and you are able to work out all these things in Jesus' name, because you can agree to disagree and still love. I think that's the key. You can agree to disagree. We got a lot to agree on in this day and time. We got a lot to disagree on. But we're trying to come together in the unity of Christ. So we can disagree, but we can still love. So keep all that in prayer. Tina, too. She's in Arizona. Keep Tina, too, in prayer. She stays in touch with us, and we miss her and Greg. So keep them in prayer. Also, Joanne, too. We call her Joanne, too, T-O-O, like we did with Tina and Tina, too. Not that they're number two. They're just also named Joanne or Tina. And Joanne put a little prayer request in for her sister who's suffering with some breast cancer. Boy, I tell you what, there seems to be a lot of that going around, all kind of cancer. So we want to lift up all the people that are on our prayer request line and different things. So say a little prayer for your brothers or sisters or family members when you're in a time of devotion or scripture reading. Well, we always close this little segment with what we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples to use as a model prayer for all of the prayers to line up with. As we pray that prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for just letting me ramble today. Probably didn't make much sense to anybody, but I don't know. sometimes the simplest things as we relate to God's kingdom here on earth. And God bless.